Es ist Donnerstag 18 Uhr oder Montag 13 Uhr.
Jetzt wird also wieder mitgeheult statt rumgeflennt.
Heuler on Air, das Studierendenmagazin der Universität Rostock im Radio.
Und damit herzlich willkommen zur ersten Sendung nach den Semesterferien. Wie ihr vielleicht schon gehört habt, bin ich heute nicht mehr allein im Studio. Ab jetzt bekomme ich nämlich Unterstützung von der lieben Rike. Sie studiert ebenfalls an der Uni Rostock und ich freue mich total, dass sie zum Uniradio gestoßen ist. Ich bin sicher, wir werden in diesem Semester gemeinsam viele spannende Sendungen auf die Beine stellen. Magst du dich einmal vielleicht kurz vorstellen?
Ja, hallöchen, ich bin Rike, aber bevor ich mich kurz vorstelle, ist heute eine ganz besondere Sendung, beziehungsweise ein ganz besonderer Tag, denn heute ist Lenas Geburtstag und sie opfert ihren ganz besonderen Tag, um mit mir gemeinsam auf Sendung zu gehen. Also erstmal Happy Birthday, Lena, und vielen, vielen Dank, dass du heute dabei bist. Hattest du denn bis jetzt einen schönen Geburtstag?
Ja, ich würde sagen, ich bin ganz gut in den Tag gekommen, auf jeden Fall war im Gerda und das Glück. Zum Frühstück.
Schön.
Mein Freund und genau, war ein ganz entspannter Tag, bisschen spazieren gewesen. Das Wetter war ja einigermaßen ganz gut.
Geburtstagswetter also,
ja,
ne?
Ja, genau.
Schön. Schön. Ja, dann komme ich mal zu meiner Vorstellung. Ich bin Rike, ich bin 23 Jahre alt und ich studiere gerade Kommunikations- und Medienwissenschaften und Germanistik im Master. Ich arbeite neben meinem Studium in einem Buchladen und bin jetzt hier bei Loro und Heuler on Air gelandet, weil ich jetzt schon länger irgendwas mit Journalismus machen wollte und mich jetzt ein bisschen beim Radio ausprobieren wollte. Also ich freue mich auch sehr auf die Sendung heute. Was erwartet uns denn heute?
Ja, danke dir erstmal für deine kurze Vorstellung und auf jeden Fall sehr, sehr schön, dass du mit dabei bist. Heute wird sich alles um das Thema drehen, was uns am meisten betrifft, nämlich das Studium. Du warst ja beim Campustag unterwegs und hast dort ein paar Studis angesprochen. Viele davon, würde ich mal sagen, auch Erstis, die da rumgelaufen sind. Ich konnte leider nicht dabei sein, bin aber sehr gespannt, was du für Stimmen eingefangen hast. Außerdem haben wir passend zum Semesterstart ein Interview mit Herrn Christian Schmidt-Kilp, Professor für Literatur am Institut für Anglistik und Amerikanistik, vorbereitet. Es geht nämlich um den neuen Masterstudiengang Culture Ecology Change, der erst seit 2023 an der Uni Rostock gelehrt wird, ist also noch ganz frisch. Und ich selbst studiere den Master nämlich jetzt auch dann im dritten Semester zum Winter. Und da alle Lehrveranstaltungen komplett auf Englisch sind, werdet ihr das Interview später mit dem Prof auch auf Englisch hören. Das heißt, es wird heute so eine deutsch-englische Sendung werden.
Das klingt auf jeden Fall sehr gut und super spannend. Und zu guter Letzt haben wir heute auch wieder einen Studiogast bei uns. Das ist ja schon eine ganze Weile her, aber wir sprechen heute mit Nada, die ist ebenfalls Studentin im Master Culture Ecology Change. Sie kommt ursprünglich aus Marokko und ist extra fürs Studium nach Rostock gezogen. Und mit ihr unterhalten wir uns natürlich auch auf Englisch über ihre Erfahrung als internationale Studierende und darüber, wie sie so das Leben und das Studieren hier in Rostock erlebt.
Genau, aber bevor wir den ersten Beitrag zum Campustag hören, sag doch mal, Rike, wie fandest du den Campustag so insgesamt? Ich weiß, dass Radio Loro auf jeden Fall auch da war.
Ja, die waren auch da, aber also der Tag war so erlebnisreich. Also ich habe das Gefühl, dass der Campustag jedes Jahr größer und spektakulärer wird. Also es kommen immer mehr Stände und Aktionen dazu und es waren auch so, so viele Leute dabei. Also von meiner Leinsicht hat es sich gelohnt, mal vorbeizuschauen.
Ja, das klingt auf jeden Fall sehr schön. Vielleicht schaffe ich es dann ja auch nächstes Jahr dabei zu sein. Ich freue mich auf jeden Fall total auf die heutige Sendung. Und dann starten wir auch gleich mit unserem ersten Lied, nämlich den neuen Song von Nina Chuba, den ich gerade tatsächlich sehr feiere. Viel Spaß mit ihrem Lied Überdosis.
Hallöchen, ich stehe gerade auf dem Campustag in der Südstadt und entgegen der Erwartungen spielt das Wetter auch noch ganz gut mit. Der Südstadt-Campus ist gut besucht und vor den ersten Ständen tummeln sich schon die ersten Studis, die wir jetzt einfach mal fragen werden, wie es ihnen hier so gefällt. Hi, Entschuldigung. Habt ihr Bock, solange ihr hier gerade hier steht, bei einer Umfrage mitzumachen?
Ja.
Ja? Okay, cool.
Wieso nicht?
Bist du dann das erste Mal hier auf dem Campustag?
Yes, ja. Nein, ich war schon in meinem ersten Semester und letztes Jahr auch schon hier.
Ja, das bin ich.
Ja, ich bin erst hier.
Sehr gut.
Tatsächlich war ich jetzt schon ein paar Mal da. Ich habe schon öfter mal Stände betreut hier.
Nee, schon das zweite Mal. Was hat dich heute hierher gezogen? Na, das Programm oder auch allgemein natürlich die Stände, die Goodies, auch vielleicht ein paar Leute kennenzulernen hier.
Einmal meine Schwester und ihr Freund. Natürlich auch jetzt, weil ich Erststudent bin und mir den Campus ein wenig anschauen möchte. Weil ich die verschiedenen Angebote testen möchte. Hochschulsport, Chor. Ja, hier gibt es ja 100 verschiedene Sachen gefühlt. Ja, und vielleicht auch nochmal neue Leute kennenzulernen.
Ich bin tatsächlich am Stand des Chors und ja, helfe da so ein bisschen mit. Aber guck auch immer gerne einfach so ein bisschen rum.
Ja, ich hatte sonst noch gar keine Veranstaltung diese Woche und dann habe ich gedacht, ich gucke mir das mal an und deswegen bin ich eigentlich hauptsächlich hier.
Ich wollte gucken, was ist Neues. Zum Beispiel hat mich interessiert dieser Physiktheater. Sie wollen Experimente am Donnerstag um 14 Uhr hier machen und die sind interessant einfach, ja.
Ein bisschen die Stände angucken, ein paar Sachen abgreifen, ja.
Und wie gefällt es dir so bisher?
Ich finde es cool, also es sind sehr viele Menschen da und auch sehr viele Stände, was ich so nicht gedacht hätte. Also man sieht wirklich vieles, das ist sehr vielfältig, das ist schon cool aufgebaut, ja. Oh, ich finde es sehr gut, also sehr viele verschiedene Firmen hier. Und am besten gefallen mir bisher der Stand von der Plasmaspende und der von InfoCity. Die hatten sehr, sehr coole Gewinne.
Ja, allgemein gefällt mir es sehr gut. Manchmal kann man auch in meinem Hochschulsport viele Sportarten probieren. Und wenn das Wetter gut ist. Also wenn das Wetter nicht gut ist, aber ein bisschen schwierig.
Ich finde es sehr schön, dass hier so großes Treiben ist. Es gibt sehr viele schöne Gratis-Sachen. Kugelschreiber habe ich schon eine Menge gesammelt. Und ja, der Hochschulsport war auch sehr interessant, mir mal anzuschauen.
Ich finde es echt cool. Es gibt total viele Stände und auch sehr viele Leute sind hier. Man kommt gut ins Reden, die Leute sind hilfsbereit, ja.
Gibt es irgendein persönliches Highlight von dir?
Eigentlich mehrere, muss ich sagen. Also ich finde es auch cool, dass hier so Jobangebote präsentiert werden, vielleicht so für Minijob, für spezielle Studiengänge und sowas. Also hat man eine große Bandbreite an Sachen, die man hier so mitnehmen kann.
Aber ich fand es interessant, dass es Bierpong gibt.
Ich glaube, ein persönliches Highlight habe ich bisher nicht. Also ich habe wirklich wenig gemacht bisher.
Okay. Dass ich mit ein paar Erstis sprechen konnte und die mir so erzählt haben, was die so studieren und dass ich vielleicht helfen konnte, so beim Stundenplan bauen. Ja.
Ich glaube, das Gesangsangebot fand ich mit am besten. Die ganzen Gewinnspiele und die Sportangebote.
Ich würde sagen, es gibt so eine Ecke mit den ganzen Sportangeboten, da konnte man dann viel Dinge gewinnen, indem man einfach ein bisschen Bälle wirft oder so. Das fand ich ganz cool.
Ja, perfekt. Vielen Dank. Das war's schon.
Das war also der Campus-Tag 2025. Auch ich konnte jetzt einiges abfassen und gehe nun zufrieden nach Hause.
Ja, und damit willkommen zurück beim Heuler, dem Studierendenmagazin der Uni Rostock. Und wir wünschen natürlich damit allen neuen Studis und denen, die schon länger dabei sind, wie wir auch, einen erfolgreichen Start ins neue Wintersemester. Nun hören wir Rikes derzeitiges Lieblingslied, nämlich Killer Queen von Queen. She keeps them away,
und damit kommen wir zu unserem ersten Gespräch mit Herrn Schmidt-Kilb. Er stellt uns den neuen von ihm mitinitiierten Masterstudiengang Culture Ecology Change vor. Und dabei geht es nicht nur um die Inhalte, sondern auch um die Motivation und die Herausforderungen, die mit der Gründung eines ganz neuen interdisziplinären Studiengangs verbunden sind. Zum Schluss haben wir ihn noch nach einem Ausblick in die Zukunft gefragt und da spielt natürlich auch die aktuelle politische Lage in Deutschland eine Rolle. Viel Spaß beim Interview.
Could you tell us about the motivation behind creating the new master's program Culture Ecology Change at the University of Rostock?
Yes, the motivation was first an extra academic one, I might say. So if you think about climate change, biodiversity loss, uneven development, resultant demographic pressures, and so on, we're living in a world of multiple ecological and humanitarian crises. So first of all, the radicalization of the climate crisis in the last decade and the willingness and urgency to respond to that crisis also on an academic level and also from the point of view of the humanities was at the beginning. We believed that we needed something like an MA program, we called it Culture Ecology Change, to provide students with the skills and resources needed to understand and also actively confront the complex connections between the crises of the Anthropocene. And then we saw that we had a lot of expertise in a way in the field of eco-criticism and the environmental humanities at our institute here in Rostock. And then Gesa Mackentun, professor of American Studies, and myself and some others began to design the MA. To start with, we had a double degree in mind, so that students were able to either or to decide after a semester or a year whether they wanted to move into the direction of a sciences and a Master of Science or a Master of Arts, but this plan failed for bureaucratic reasons, so that would have been nice.
And so why was 2023 the right time to launch it?
Well, some of the ideas were put together even earlier, so it was a long time in the making. And yeah, well, 2023 could have been a couple of years earlier or a couple of years later. So, I mean, it's just an ongoing sort of catastrophic process. At the moment, we also see a kind of backlash so that the topics of environmentalism and sustainability and so on are no longer treated as urgently as they should. So, yeah, 2023 was then the year we got it finished. Ideas were put together and then we wanted the program inter or transdisciplinary right from the start. We were and are still convinced that the current situation needs the perspectives of all possible fields of knowledge and science. So the our KEC MA, as we call it, Culture, Ecology, Change, centers on Anglophone eco-criticism and environmental humanities. Environmental humanities is a term that is a kind of umbrella term for all kinds of research going on in the field of the humanities with a focus on the connection between the ecological dimension and the human dimension. So that's why environmental humanities. But we also try to include law, landscape, ecology, marine ecology, agrarian and social economics, philosophy, history, and our sort of the module we have in the first year somehow stands for that sort of attempt at integration of all different kinds of faculties and disciplines at the university. Key to all of this is our understanding of literature, culture, and language as agents, global agents in their own right in this context. So with a focus on environmental humanities, the program foregrounds contemporary theories and approaches to ecological and cultural change across a broad selection of Anglophone, global, and historical contexts. And why 2023 is, this is when we began to, or a couple of years earlier, this is when we began to think about it, and then it happened. Yeah.
So you already explained the program itself of Culture, Ecology, Change. What just came into my mind, like, when was the first time that you thought, oh, I want to build up a new master's program? Do you remember the situation?
It must have been in times of Corona, I guess. But I don't remember exactly. It's always a very long way through the bureaucratic institutions, Senatskommission and Senat and Fakultätsrat and everything else before you can get started. Also, we met with some controversy as to why are you in an English department or English and American Studies department concerned with a topic that belongs to, in inverted commas, the natural sciences. So it needed a lot of, attempts at convincing people that this is the right thing to do. We, of course, believe that this is the right thing to do. I think that that a major role of achieving transformation is to make, not to provide more knowledge. I have the feeling that there is enough knowledge around, but the problem is, of course, as we all know, the translation of knowledge into action. And it is there that the humanities can contribute a lot, I hope, I think, to that field.
And so what do you think, what makes the Culture, Ecology, Change program so unique if you compare it to other similar programs in Germany or internationally?
I don't think that as of now, maybe now there is, but when we planned it and when it was installed, that there is a comparable MA around in Germany, as far as I know. I think there are MA programs that focus on the environmental humanities. But in a way, what I think is unique is this blending right from the start of these various dimensions of knowledge, and also bridging the gap between the natural sciences and us, the humanities. So in this first semester, we have a lecture series where people from the, well, it's difficult to translate, the agrarian faculty, Agrar- und Umweltfakultät, the social sciences, philosophy, and history, marine biology, and so on. They all contribute. We ask them, they kindly provide input that may help us to widen our scope together with our own perspectives on, well, basically on cultural artifacts of all kinds, poetry, novels, but also plastic, concrete, and how it is perceived and conceived of in from a cultural studies point of view or a literary studies point of view. So I don't think, maybe there is one now. I think at the time we did some research and there wasn't something like that. Also with a kind of integrated, what's called the transformation module in a way where you're asked to think into the future creatively. So it's also in a way a little bit of transgressing the boundaries of what was formerly known as normal in a humanities MA program.
Ja, und nun hören wir einen neuen Song, bei dem man so richtig Lust bekommt mitzusingen, wie ich finde. Wir hören nun von Sam Payne und Young St. Paul Aus Versehen.
So the first students started in 2023 and then also in 2024. How have they responded so far? Like, what are their academic backgrounds and their personal interests?
Their academic backgrounds are very diverse, and that's really interesting and it's a very inspiring group of people. At the same time, it's also challenging because, I mean, if you set up an MA where you know that all the students who are going to do it have a background, say, in English studies or in American studies, culture studies, literary studies, linguistics, then you can build upon that. Now here, we have a very broad scope of backgrounds from architecture to history and politics and social sciences and much else. Plus, there are people from all over the world, which I really enjoy very much. So it's a genuinely international masters with at the moment people from Iran, from Mexico, from the United States, and Russia, and many other places. It's completely in English, which is very good. Causes some problems here and there in the necessity for us to help people translate things that are only available in German. But the backgrounds are very diverse, both geographically and in terms of academic sort of knowledge with which the students come. But it has proved to be very, from our point of view, it seems to be a success.
And so have there been any challenges or surprises during the first or second year?
There were some sort of infrastructure problems, people not getting visa in time, hybrid classes because of this. Also, of course, we have to convince people from other faculties to please open their courses so that our students can participate.
Is there any particular faculty that you would like to introduce or integrate into the program?
We are constantly looking for courses, and also the home pages of professors and other lecturers. If they are doing a teaching or research on sustainability issues and ecological issues from whichever angle, then we look into that and ask them, talk to them, and maybe ask them to contribute. It rather works in this way. And then some of us have a very large network also of people who are not from Rostock, so we also have guest lecturers teaching courses sometimes or giving lectures in this core module in the first term. So yeah, this is how we go about that. And the response is usually very open, which we actually appreciate a lot.
And could you share some examples of projects or research topics that students are doing right now? I think some are starting their MA thesis.
Yes, the first two MA theses have just been handed in. That's from the first year. The first year was really small. We started off with like 5 students and then there were 3. The second round, they had 13 students, I guess. So the first two have been handed in right now. There is one on, the thesis is on enclosure, environmental destruction in the context of England's colonialism. So it's with a focus on literature, but also on politics and history. In that sense, it's an interdisciplinary approach. And the other one is on animated cartoon films of the Japanese Ghibli studios and how they have a new approach to tell tales, narratives about the climate crisis. Yeah.
And so how does the program prepare the graduates for the future careers?
Basically, I believe this is a question that can be put to all kinds of humanities, MAs or BA. And the field for the environmental humanities, I believe, even though the whole field has come under pressure, as I said before, because, everybody's cutting back on this area, could be a lot of things. It could be anywhere where the transmission or translation of knowledge into the public realm, here, for example, in a radio, in an NGO, or even in a company that has a kind of department that is interested in the communication of its own sort of green agenda. I think that the humanities in general, environmental humanities in particular, are more needed than ever for all kinds of critical thinking. There must still be some people around who can differentiate between an AI-generated text and a text that has been written by a human being. I think it's also an important aspect of a democracy that it affords to have people whose task it is at the university for a couple of years in a kind of semi-safe space to think critically about topics they are interested in and then take this knowledge into the larger world. It's not a very sort of direct and clear-cut way towards particular jobs. But we'll see. I mean, maybe next year I will be able to say more about that when the first couple of people are there on the market, so to say.
And in your opinion, like, how can a program like this contribute to addressing the ecological and cultural challenges of our time? You talked a lot about really putting knowledge into action. Like, what is your personal opinion?
Yeah, I think that it's, I don't like the term narratives so much, but in fact, this is what I think we can contribute to. So, you have a set of facts and then people tell very different narratives about that. And if you combine the ability to critically engage with how a narrative is constructed and how it can be powerful and where it, for example, lies, and if you combine that with a particular topic, then you end up with skills and an expertise that makes it possible, I believe, to contribute very profitably to society at large and wherever you are in a work context in particular. So it is this act of making of the available knowledge something like, well, in fact, what we teach is kind of climate change or climate crisis literacy, being able to decode and read and understand and make sense of the ways in which, for example, the climate crisis and its existence or non-existence, as it's sometimes claimed, is framed. This is something you learn our master's degree, with a lot of facts, of course, also about the climate crisis. And that makes it possible, I think, I hope, we hope for these people to make a change in the environments in which they later on find themselves.
So now already we're coming to the last question. So looking ahead, how do you envision the program evolving over the next 5 years?
So we also would like to integrate what we call fachdidaktik, linguistics, of course, cultural studies, literary studies, because we believe that that we need all these fields to counter what I earlier called a backlash, this climate that is against environmental politics at the moment. So that would be one thing. More students would always be good, even though, I mean, if we stick with, we have a lot of applications right now. Yeah, we would like to also, we have to think, I think, about the future in the sense of next year there are elections here in Mecklenburg-Vorpommern and you don't know what happens. And topics like environmentalism together with post-colonialism and gender studies and so on are under pressure all over the place, as you know, or as we all know when we listen to the radio or read international newspapers, of course, in United States, it's extreme at the moment, but I think it would be very good if we prepared for that kind of future here in a way as well. So talk amongst ourselves with the students, what can we do to make sure that the program is a kind of safe ship in this kind of unforeseeable future. Maybe I'm wrong, hopefully I'm wrong, and we don't get that kind of pressure. I celebrate if I'm wrong. If not, we need to be prepared.
Ja, erstmal ein großes Dankeschön an Herrn Schmidt-Kilb für das spannende Gespräch und seine Zeit. Ich fand es wirklich super interessant zu hören, wie aus einer ersten Idee Schritt für Schritt ein neuer Studiengang entstanden ist, bis hin zur ersten Vorlesung mit den ersten Studierenden.
Ja, und wie immer fragen wir auch unsere Gäste natürlich nach ihrem Lieblingssong. Für Herrn Professor Schmidt-Kilb ist das Boys Don't Cry von The Cure. Also viel Spaß beim Hören. Und damit wieder herzlich willkommen zurück bei Loro 90,2. Ihr hört das Studierendenmagazin der Uni Rostock. Jetzt haben wir eine weitere spannende Gästin bei uns im Studio, und zwar die liebe Nada. Lena und Nada studieren gemeinsam den Master Culture Ecology Change. Und weil Nada ursprünglich aus Marokko stammt und extra fürs Studium nach Rostock gezogen ist, wird das Interview gleich auf Englisch stattfinden. Schön, dass du heute bei uns bist. So nice to have you here, Nada.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited actually to be here.
Yes, so thanks a lot for talking with us about your studies. And first tell us, what are you studying again and what made you decide to come to Rostock for your master's studies?
Well, I am a student at Culture, Ecology and Change master program, and I'm in my second year. And I've actually always wanted to do a master's abroad in relation to the environment and nature. So Germany seems fit, and Rostock University was among my choices. And as everyone does, I looked it up online and I really loved the architecture of the Rostock University and also of the city entirely. And I really thought about it and added to my list of priorities. And I was like, this is actually a really good choice. Mm-hmm. And it's closer to the sea. So it would be a nice change. So that's what I thought at the time. And here I am.
And so what was your first impression of the city of Rostock? What came into your mind?
Oh, it's ethereal in my opinion. I love the weather here and I love winter. It's my favorite season. So
okay, you're the first person I know who loves winter.
I know. It's not everyone says that. So it's really amazing.
But it's so cold.
I love cold weather and I really enjoy snow, rain, not the wind. That's an exception.
Wow.
But I really love the vibe and it's really nice. The aesthetic overall is really nice.
I think you're made for Northern Germany.
Yes, exactly.
I think so too.
What differences have you noticed between studying in Morocco and studying here in Germany?
Well, first of all, I would say the seminars, lectures type of thing, because in Morocco we have a lecture and the seminars are in the lecture. Here they are separated, which was the first time actually for me. And also the exams and how one can take an exam. It's actually first time I've had term paper. Before in Morocco, I had to sit for a written exam for my entire, for the entire years of my bachelor. And yeah, it's quite a new thing, actually, the exam situation. It's really new for me, I would say. It's a change that wasn't in Morocco.
I can imagine.
And so, like, what have you studied as your bachelor before?
First, I started as English studies, but then they opened an excellence course and I joined it, and it was green cultural studies, basically what we're doing here, but more shallow, I guess. It's as a beginning for people to familiarize themselves with the concept of nature and how we deal with it and how we interact with it on a daily basis, and just move beyond the intricate relationship as we know of, the one that we know of on the daily basis. So I was like, oh, this is good. So then I obtained my bachelor's in green culture studies.
Yeah, sounds good. Do you know any other students from Morocco who study here in Rostock or Germany in general?
In Germany, I have a friend in Berlin. And here in Rostock, actually, my friend, his name is Hamza, and he just actually joined. He's a first semester student. And we actually were together studying bachelor's, and when we were applying, Rostock was one of the choices we wanted to actually apply for and hopefully get accepted. And yeah, I came here and he followed me, and yeah, you know, that's really nice.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so how was it for you to settle into a new city and a new country, especially? I mean, the cultures are totally different. Were there also any particular challenges?
I mean, it is a new experience for sure. I lived alone in Morocco, but it's not like moving into a new country and a new continent, a different continent, a different culture. It was a bit overwhelming at the beginning. And the only challenge I would say I faced was language-wise. I studied a little bit of German first year of college, but it is, of course, different when you're in the native-speaking country of the language. So, yeah, I think it took me a while to get over to not be flustered when someone speaks to me in German. So, yeah, that's for sure.
Do you understand it?
Yeah, for now, after it's been a while, I can understand, I think, 60%.
Okay.
Yeah, I can understand through context, but not fully. I'm going there. I'm learning. I'm taking courses, actually. So,
yeah. Perfect. It's too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. What kind of support have you received as an international student from the university or from other students?
Well, I actually had delays with my visa, and I was so scared that I'm going to miss most of my classes. But actually, with the help of the professor and our major coordinator, I was actually able to have Zoom classes, and I was kept on track with all my lectures and seminars. And when I arrived, actually, a lot of students here were really helpful, and I was enrolled in a buddy program where I can meet other people from different countries who are moving here to Rostock. But because I was late as well, they were like, oh, don't worry, when you're here in Rostock, we'll show you around. And also people in from my class were really, really welcoming. So it was really amazing, actually. I was overwhelmed, but with time, it was easier for me to overcome that.
Yeah. And you met Lena.
Yes, exactly.
True fact. And what advice would you give to other international students who are thinking about studying in Germany?
I would say, first and most importantly, is the language. So if you're going to, if you want to do plenty of activities, courses, English can be helpful, yes, but German will make it a lot easier, I would say. And also just plan ahead you have to do a lot of documents and paperwork. So if you planned ahead, that would also, because you have to present those paper at some point, and yeah, that would mainly be it.
Yeah, lots of paper sounds like Germany. Yeah. Yeah, thanks
so
a lot.
I have one question more.
Oh, okay.
And so what's your German level right now? What would you say?
I'm actually enrolling in, I just took a test and I'm now B1. So I don't think I am B1, but hopefully I'll...
You pretend to be B1?
I'll print it, make it, like fake it until you make it. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite German word? Or do you have a sentence that you like in German?
I don't know if this will be cliche, but the word exactly, I love Tau.
Can you repeat?
The word Tau. T-A-U.
Tau? Yes.
Yeah. Tautropfen? Yeah, because I recently, in my first actually class, German class, we had to actually say the meaning of our names. And this is actually what my name means in German. And I
so
just
sweet.
Got to actually learn it. So now it's my favorite and I'm just saying it around all the time. And they're like, did you know that my name means in German this? And I'm so excited to
sweet.
Tell everyone.
Like Morgentau, like the
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
Yeah, thank you.
And what's one thing that you don't like about Germany at all or German people?
Oh, it's not I don't like, it's I am... really a bit anxious person. So the stares, if someone stared at me for a while, I can't hold eye contact after a few seconds. So the stares really, it makes me nervous. Yeah, it makes me nervous.
It's
sure.
a really big cliche in Germany that we have the stare, but I never heard it from yeah. someone. Like.
I heard it, but I never thought it would affect me. And then I came here and I was like, okay, now I feel it. I can feel the stares. It's really... But it's okay. I can get over it.
Do you feel my stare right now?
I can see all the okay. stares.
Yeah, some people say that the people living in Northern Germany seem quite distanced or like unfriendly.
Unfriendly? I would say no, because obviously you wouldn't be friendly to strangers.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a cliche. It's a cliche.
Yeah, a bit distant a little bit, but not so much. I didn't feel that, to be honest, when I first came here. So, yeah.
Did you miss something about Morocco?
The food. I have to say the food, it's a must. I'm a foodie, I love food. So some dishes, Moroccan dishes, I couldn't find here because they require certain dishes, like actual dish where you cook the food. So yeah, I couldn't find it here, but it's okay, I guess.
Is it more spicy than in Germany?
No, actually, I mean, it requires spices, but it's not spicy. It depends on the region where I'm from. It's not that spicy. It's just okay. regular spice, I would say. Yeah.
Where exactly are you from?
I'm from a city called Fez. It's in the Atlas Mountain. So it's a more cold area. That's why I love, actually, the cold. Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yes,
now I get
exactly.
it.
Perfect.
Is there any Moroccan restaurant here?
In Rostock, no, sadly. I looked, but I didn't find anything. In Berlin, there is, but the price is a bit high for my food. Mm. So, yeah, I would say that.
Did you?
And, huh?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, did you visit Berlin like often or?
Yeah, because I have a friend there, so I go
okay.
back and forth quite often.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is there one thing that you like a lot about German culture or German food? Like you're living here now since 1 year. Is there anything that you wouldn't like to miss anymore?
Wouldn't like to miss? I don't know. Really.
And one thing you're fascinated about. For example, German bread. I don't know.
I don't know if it's a thing that you can actually touch or feel, but I love how everything has rules. I love rules. So I love how people can follow the rules. And I love following the rules. And it's everything is... in order and constructed and really put together. So that's actually really like, I like that. I love it. It's just, you have to do this and do this in order to get this. So I'm really comfortable with that one. I'm just like, yes, thank you. Finally, yes.
We're so strict.
Yeah.
So thank you for answering all the questions. You did an amazing job.
Thank you so much.
I hope you had fun.
I really did. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, perfect, because we always ask our guests what their favorite song is. What is your favorite song at the moment?
At the moment, I'm really addicted to listening to the song Lemonade by Louis Tomlinson. Yeah, I love that song. It's really good.
So let's switch back to German. Jetzt hören wir nun den aktuellen Song von Nada. So let's listen to your favorite song right now. Viel Spaß dabei.
Und damit sind wir wieder zurück bei Loro 90,2. Ihr hört das Studierendenmagazin der Uni Rostock.
Ja, und das war's auch schon mit der ersten Sendung im neuen Wintersemester. Ich finde, es ging irgendwie super schnell vorbei. wir wünschen euch allen auf jeden Fall einen richtig guten Semesterstart. Und auch nochmal an dich, Nada. Again to you, like, thanks a lot for having you here.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for answering all our questions.
Thank you.
It was very lovely.
Yep. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Ja, und dann sagen wir auf jeden Fall bis zum nächsten Mal. Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr wieder einschaltet. Bis dann.
Bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.
Euler on Air, eure Sendung rund ums Studium in Rostock. Jeden dritten Donnerstag im Monat um 18 Uhr.